Amen. Thank you so very much. That was wonderful. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Earlier this morning, we have honored the veterans who served this country and secured the freedoms and the liberties that you and I both enjoy. And I think it's proper that we do that. I think it's honorable that we do that. I grew up in the tail end of the draft. I wasn't old enough to be drafted, but I grew up in the tail end of that draft. My stepbrother just missed. He was his number was called of the draft to go to Vietnam. But his number, he was in line to be called, but they didn't make him go because the war ended before he went. So we're very thankful for that, but I'm thankful for those who served our great nation. Although I wasn't drafted, I did volunteer to join the United States Air Force, and like some of you, I almost made that same mistake of joining the Marines, amen? I spoke with the Marine recruiter, and boy, I liked their uniforms, and they look sharp, and they, you know, everyone a Marine, you know, and I almost joined the Marines, and I didn't really want to go into the Navy, because who wants to go on the ship with a bunch of guys for 6 months, and that didn't really impress me so very much, and the Army, I didn't want to go there, because all it is carry guns and live in tents, and I didn't want to do that, and the Coast Guard, I mean, are they, don't take this wrong, but I thought, were they really part of the military? You know, I didn't really know what they did, but it turned out that would have been a pretty cool thing to do, you know, guarding our nation's coastlines, and so the alternative was the Air Force, and my friend led me to the Air Force. I already signed up to take the test for the Marines, and I was ready to go. My parents gave me approval. I met the Air Force recruiter. He just blew all kinds of wonderful love words towards me and hugged me and put me in his car, and off we were to the Air Force recruiting station. And I'm just so thankful for that. But, you know, not counting the ongoing war still in Southeast Asia and Iraq and Afghanistan, there's another battle that's raging today, a battle that you're probably not even familiar with. It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle for the souls of men and women and boys and girls. And the truth of the matter is we need more soldiers. We need more workers, if you will, in the battle for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord is kind of like the United States government has chosen not to draft anyone. Sometimes I wish, oh Lord, please just draft someone. Please draft them into your service. They really could need some help. But Lord, Lord chose not to draft anyone into spiritual service. He wants us to volunteer to get into the battle. He wants us to get into the work because we see that the need is great and God's will needs to be accomplished here on this earth. And today I want to make the same appeal to you here today. We need more soldiers. We need more volunteers. We need some more workers. I want to preach you this message for the next few minutes that I've entitled Needed More Soldiers for Christ. Needed More Soldiers for Christ. If you found your place in 2 Timothy, let's stand as we read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through verse number 7. It's a good thing I have my reading glasses on because I can't really see what time it is on the clock, amen? Praise the Lord. Listen, it beats what my pastor used to do in England. We take a long time in worship, sometimes 30, 45 minutes, 50 minutes in worship and praise and testimony. And he'd get up to preach, and he would do this. He'd take his watch off like this. He'd bring it over here, and he set his watch down right there on the piano, come back, and we think, oh, no, what in the world is going to happen every Sunday? And he would say this. He'd say, Brother Dave, I'll give them as much time as they want to sing and preach and do announcements and do whatever they want to do, but I get just as much time to preach the gospel, amen. We'll try not to be that long this morning, but let's read here in 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 7. The Bible says in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Though therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman, the laborer, must be first partakers of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Let's pray. Heavenly Fathers, we bow our hearts and our knees before you this morning. Lord, we are so thankful for the veterans that are represented here today. And Lord, I thank you for the thousands and thousands of veterans that have served, Father, down through the years for this great nation. Some served during peacetime, Father. Some served during armed conflict. Others served in little skirmishes defending our borders, Father, and protecting our nation allies, Lord. And we're so grateful and thankful for that. Oh, Father, I pray, Lord, you'll never let these veterans forget just how much we here at Sharon Baptist Church appreciate and are thankful for their service. But, Father, as we look at this idea of spiritual veterans today, Father, we need some help. Lord, we know that you don't compel people to come, Father. You don't draft them into your service, but God, they need to come voluntarily. So, Father, I pray that some of your soldiers today would voluntarily begin to serve here at Sharon Baptist Church. Oh, Father, there's some that have been coming for a very long time that's never united with this church. And God, I pray you'll speak to their hearts about their need to unite and begin serving here, Father, at Sharon Baptist Church. Father, we pray for those who have been serving, Father. We are so thankful for them. And Father, may we tell them we appreciate all their service. But yet, Father, there's still a greater work yet to be done here at Sharon Baptist. Father, we pray for those that are here as well that don't know Christ as their Savior. That, Father, they're a soldier of this world and not of God's world. And Father, today, you might prick their heart and they might understand their need. They need to be saved, Father. So, Lord, I ask that you save the lost, the one that's dying on the way to hell today. So, Lord, when we're all done, we'll be careful to give you praise and honor and glory for it all, for nobody deserves it any more than you do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Notice in verse number 2, we find as we would look at this idea of what is it going to take for us to be a spiritual soldier for Jesus Christ. Notice the importance of sharing the gospel with others cannot be overemphasized. Notice in verse number 2, it says, And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit. I want you to keep that word commit in your thoughts as we go down through this first point today. You see, Jesus Christ wants everyone to hear the good news of salvation. Listen, Jesus Christ just didn't desire to save some, and some will go to heaven, and some will go to hell. His desire is not any should perish, but all shall come under repentance. He desired for me to get saved. He desired for you to get saved. He desires for everyone in the whole world to repent of their sin and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, he said this in Mark 16 and verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What is the gospel? The gospel was simply the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So as good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to be busy about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of 2 Peter 3 and verse number 9, where Peter writes, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come unto repentance. You say, well, Pastor Dave, what are you trying to say? I'm simply saying this, that God has a desire for every person that's physically born in this world to repent of their sin and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know what you're thinking. You're saying, well, Pastor Dave, you don't know my next door neighbor. Surely God doesn't want him to go to heaven. Understand this, my friend. His sin is no different than our sin. As a human being, we are born into sin because of the sin of Adam and Eve. And true, that man looks at sin, and we look at various degrees of sin, and that's true, and I understand that. But listen, sin is still sin, just like a lie is a lie. Is a white lie different than a black lie? No. A regular lie? No. It's still a lie. A sin is a sin, whether small or great, or a sin that we commit or a sin that we do not do. Understand this, it's still all sin. And God has provided the gospel as God's power to save all who will believe and put their faith and trust in him. I like what Paul says in Romans 1, verses 16 and verse number 17. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So I guess the million-dollar question for you and I this morning is simply this, that we need to ask ourselves is, what is the most effective way for you and I to reach people with the gospel today? What is the best way? What is the most effective way of telling other people about the gospel of Jesus Christ? A recent survey they asked 10,000 people this question: who is responsible for you coming to Christ, in other words, being saved, and uniting with a local New Testament church? And so here's the replies. 3% said, I had a special need in my life. Another 3% said, I just walked in right off the street. 6% said, I heard that the pastor down there was good looking, so that's probably all of you, amen. Another 1%, get this now, 1% said, I visited at that church. Another 5%, I heard they had a great Bible study, and I went to a Bible study. Another 0.5% said, I attended a gospel meeting or an evangelistic service. 3% said, I heard they had great programs down there for teens and young people and ladies' Bible study. But notice this now, 79% of these 10,000 people that were asked what was responsible for you coming to Christ and uniting with the local New Testament church, 79% of the people answered it this way: a friend or a relative invited me to go to church. Well, you say, well, Pastor Dave, what can we learn from a survey like this? It just confirms simply this, that I'm for revival meetings. I'm even for evangelistic meetings. I'm for those old-fashioned tent meetings where they put sawdust down on the ground and the man of God would stand up with great fervor and great power and he'd be sweating all over the place, preaching God's word, proclaiming the need for the lost to trust in Jesus Christ. I'm all for that, but understand this, that in the day and age we live today, those meetings are not as effective as reaching people as they were in the past. And the most obvious point of the survey is simply this: if churches are to grow, it's going to grow through the efforts of individual members just like you and I. You see, preachers are good and programs are good and classes may even help, but in most cases, guess what? All they are going to do is help the church maintain the size of their congregation. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying today. Those things are still worth it. Programs and classes and Bible studies and ladies' fellowships and youth groups and evangelistic meetings and revival meetings, they're all good. I'm not against those, but understand this, that the way that we're going to reach people today is not by those things, it's that we might have personal contact with people that we know. The greatest potential that we have in reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ is good old-fashioned personal contact. It's members of our church going out to people in the community, their family, their friends, their loved ones, their grocers, their postman and postmistresses. All those are the best way for you and I to reach people with the gospel. Well, notice not only is the importance of sharing the gospel with others cannot be overemphasized, but notice secondly, two things are needed to utilize those contacts that are made through members of Sharon Baptist Church. You say, well, what are those two things? Well, in verse number one, we find this word grace. And I put down for point number two, concern. So we have consider, then we have concern in verse number one. Notice in verse number one, thou therefore, my son, be strong. Notice this, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, as we get on to these two reasons, two things that we must have, the two concerns we must have, understand this, it only comes by the grace of God. It's not something you and I can manufacture. It's not something that will rub off on you if I have it. It's something that comes from God Himself. Notice, first of all, the concern for the lost by these members. And notice the example of Jesus in Matthew 9 in verse 36 through verse number 38. But when he saw the multitudes, the Bible said he was moved with compassion, a concern about them, in other words, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as a sheep having no shepherd. Then he saith unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he might send forth laborers into the harvest. Now I mentioned this before, but it bears repeating again. Verse number 37 does not say that we pray for them to be saved. It says, pray that we send laborers out into the harvest. So who are the laborers? That's the soldiers of Jesus Christ. The example of Jesus having concern is found in Matthew chapter 9. But then the example of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 3 says this, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. If that wasn't strong enough, he repeats a similar statement with different words in Romans 10 and verse number 1. He says, brethren, it's my heart's desire and prayer for God, for Israel, that they might be saved. You understand Paul's burden and his desire was so strong. He had a great concern for the nation of Israel that he simply said this. He said, God, if I could go to hell and save all Israel, he said, I would gladly do it. I don't know about you, but that's a man whose spiritual maturity is about 300 steps above where I'm at today. You say, well, why do you say that? Because I know me and I know you and I know my neighbor, and I just don't know if I'd be willing to say, if you save my neighbor, I'd be willing to die and go to hell. I know what awaits a person in hell. But Paul had so much concern for them. And notice something else. They had concern, but they noticed something else that we need. That's knowledge. Knowledge of how to increase opportunities to share the gospel. So I'm going to assume that all of us really here have the concern that nobody wants our friends, relatives, loved ones, our co-workers dying and going to hell. No one wants to personally bump up against that, the DMV. Well, maybe the DMV people. No, I'm only kidding, of course. Nobody, we want nobody to die and go to hell. So I understand that you have the concern, but listen, that we don't want anyone to die and go to a Christless hell. But I want to challenge you to put into practice this morning some simple steps that will increase your effectiveness in reaching our community for the gospel of the Christ. You see, all the sincerity in the world is great, but if that's all we have, you're not going to reach someone with sincerity. You know, I can have a burdened heart and say, boy, I wish my neighbor would get saved. But if I don't go over and knock on his door and invite him to church, if I don't go over there and invite his children to Pastor Pirate Club, if I don't go over there and ask him if he's saved and born again, trusted in Christ as his personal Savior, listen, I'm being sincere, but I'm not doing what I need to do. It's more than being sincere. We must put into practice what we know. And so that's where we need to understand this, that it's not only what we know, but it's what we do, what we put into practice. Well, two things that are needed to utilize contacts made through Sharon Baptist Church. The first one was concern. You have to have concern. The number two, you have to have knowledge. And notice the third thing today, the third thing that we need to have. Notice the caution in seeking to be a caring church. And for that, in verses 3 and 4, I use the C word, caution, in verses 3 and 4. You know, if you and I are going to be a caring church, one really that has concern and one really that has knowledge of what we need to do, we're going to have to be a couple different things. Notice in verse number 3 of our text, number 1, we're going to have to be steadfast in verse 3. Bible says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You see, serving the Lord requires a steadfastness in our conduct. You know, if you entered into the military and served in the United States military, you understand this, that it required steadfast in our conduct. At every moment of our enlistment contract or deportment ought to have been what the military expected of us. And guess what? If we didn't, we had the UCMJ that was thrown at us, and we were punished for that, either corporately or by court-martial. And so understand this, that every moment of our lives ought to be steadfast in our conduct. Someone said this, the greatest ability is dependability. And I agree with that. The greatest ability is dependability. And oftentimes, each of us at different points of our life and our different walks with Jesus Christ have been more dependable than other times. But I think generally we ought to say, as a born-again soldier of Jesus Christ, that we ought to be dependable. Let our yeas be yea and our nays be nays. If we say we're going to do it, I mean, we ought to just go ahead and try to do it the very best that we can to bring God honor and glory. You see, we ought to be steadfast in suffering. Notice it says endure hardness. We ought to be faithful in spite of persecution. We ought to be faithful in spite of difficulties of the tasks that come our way. Oftentimes we're faithful when the job is easy. I mean, you know, we're just mowing the grass. That's easy. We can get on the tractor. We can push. We can weed eat. And that's wonderful. But you know what? When it comes to perhaps crawling under this platform to fix the baptistry, that's a little bit different. That's some knee work and some banging head work underneath that thing. Understand this, that we ought to be faithful in spite of persecution. We ought to be faithful in spite of the difficulty of the task. We ought to be faithful despite the diseases and the hurts inside our bodies. My friend, listen, if we're not careful, we'll allow every ache and every pain that we have to allow us to stay home. Listen, my knee would have loved to stay home today. I don't know what it would have done by itself. I would have to cut it off and leave it there, but it would have loved to stay home and I don't know, watch Benny Hinn on TV. No, I'm not going to watch Benny Hinn. I don't know what it would have did at home. But the truth of the matter is, it hurt this morning, and it would have loved to stay home. But thank God I'm here, and thank God that you're here. Praise the Lord, because I am not going to allow the diseases of this body to keep me from being dependable to Sharon Baptist Church. Steadfast in suffering, but then also notice this, steadfast in soldiering in verse number 3. It says, a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, just as a soldier is going to have to be steadfast in battle, we as born-again believers are going to have to be steadfast in our service as well. We think of steadfast, we think of hard working, not giving up, and fighting and doing what we need to do. And so we can make a comparison with a physical soldier with a spiritual soldier. There's really no difference in our steadfastness. God expects that out of us. Well, notice fourthly, and I'm hurrying on. Notice the challenge of verses 5 through 7. Notice this, that we need to do what it takes to become a caring church. We need to do whatever it takes to become that kind of caring church. You know, one of my first soul winning classes I ever took was from evangelist David Wood, and he's a good preacher, but I tell you what, he can teach someone how to win soul. By the way, so can Pastor James. If you want to know how to win someone to Christ, listen, we don't have a Diploma 1 and Diploma 2 for you, but guess what? We'll make one up if you want to learn how to win someone to Christ. We'll start a class just as soon as you want to and take you through the steps on how to lead someone to Christ. And so evangelist David Wood said this, people don't know how much we know until they know how much we care. Let me repeat that. People don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. You see, people just want to be loved. They want to know that we have a keen interest in their life and in their work. And that's important to us. It confirms our claim to be a Christian. See, we can have all the correct doctrine, and I think we do here at Sharon Baptist Church. We can have all the right organization, and I'm glad that we do. We can have all the right worship, and all those things are certainly important for you and I. But our love for one another is what the Lord intended for us to use to convince the world that we truly are his disciples. In John 13 and verse 35, Jesus said this, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And that's what separates us from the world, is that we have love one for another. I know what you're thinking, Pastor Dave, you're pretty hard to love. Well, by the way, so are you sometimes, amen. But listen, I'll forgive you if you'll forgive me. And that's how the world can know. And they say, well, how can you do that? How can you do that? Well, because I love Jesus, because his love is shed abroad in my heart, and I'm going to share that love. Our love is really what makes us, secondly, useful to the Lord. The Lord knows what's going on inside this local New Testament church. There's nothing hidden from him. There's nothing hidden from your heart. There's nothing hidden from my heart. God understands that. He knows that. He knows exactly what's going on here at Sharon Baptist Church. Remember, he said to several churches in Asia Minor in the book of Revelation in verse chapter 2 and chapter number 3, he said these words, I know thy works. And so, my friend, God as well today knows your works, both the good and the bad. And by the way, not only your works, but he knows your word and every idle word. And I'm convinced that we can become a church that can really be used by the Lord, that we can reach others with the gospel more effectively than we already are, nurture them in spiritual growth and discipleship and baptism and go on to spiritual maturity. And when that takes place, and only then, will God truly be pleased with Sharon Baptist Church. You see, by caring about other people, it will prepare us to minister to those who are without Jesus Christ. So you say, well, Pastor, where do we start? Where do we start? Well, I'm glad you asked. I give you six practical applications, and then we'll be done very quickly. Number one, if you're writing it down, make it a point to know every member and regular visitor by name. Make it a point to know every member and every regular visitor by name. Boy, that's a tough one, amen. I can't even remember my name sometimes or which shoe goes on what foot sometimes. But that's no excuse. I need to work harder at it. You need to work harder at it. And we can show our love for other people by doing that. We can, number two, try to learn someone new at each service until we know them all. You say, well, Pastor, I just joined this church. The Titus is just joined this church. They don't know everyone's name. I submit to you this way. You start with one person right in front of you. You get to know Mel right there. And once you get to know Mel, you might leave the church. I don't know. But the truth of the matter is get to know them this week and get their name down. Then go back to Pat and Paul behind there and get their son Jimmy and then just go work your way around, amen. Start with the people that sit right around you instead of being like the pastor. Hey, brother. Hi, sister. Listen, learn their name, amen. And that ought to be a wonderful thing. Learn someone new each and every week. Number three, practice hospitality towards members and regular visitors. You know, 1 Peter 4, verses 8 and 9 says this, and above all things, have fervent charity, in other words, love among yourselves. He's writing to the church, among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another, now get this now, without grudging. Boy, how many times have we said, I'm going to have so-and-so, my husband invited so-and-so over for coffee, I got to have them over. Oh my goodness. The Bible says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Number four, invite someone to your home or out to eat or out for a coffee. You know, a coffee doesn't cost that much, really, you know, a couple bucks. And you don't even have to have coffee. You don't have to even really pay for it. The idea is that you care enough to invite them to come over to your home or to the coffee shop, that you're concerned about them. You want to show that love. Number five, visit or call another Christian each week, especially the sick or the shut-ins or maybe the new members, and you want to call the Tituses and say, hey, I'm so glad that you joined the church a couple of weeks ago. I heard you got moved into your house. Boy, I hope everything's going well. And then maybe if you're willing to back up what you say, is there anything I can do for you? I know what it's like when you move into a house. Maybe there's some things we can help you with. Or maybe you look around and you see the person that normally sits in front of you, behind you, to the left or to the right, is not there. Why don't you call them up? Why does the pastor and the community outreach pastor have to call them up and say, hey, we just missed you? You know, sometimes a person will miss because they have a good reason, and that's okay. And then no one calls them. No one cares. And they begin thinking, well, nobody even cares for me down at Sharon Baptist Church, whether I'm there or not. They stay out another week, and then nobody else calls. By the third week, the pastor gets kind of concerned. He sends a postcard. He calls and says, hey, I miss you. And they say, well, the pastor loves me. Thank God for that, but that's about it. And then the fourth week goes by, fifth week, 6 weeks, 2-3 months go by. Someone says, well, hey, Pastor, where's so-and-so at? I'm like, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, I don't know. I don't know where they're at. I contacted them. I go by and visit them, but they're not coming back. Why don't you call them, I say. And they say, okay, I think I will. Amen. Listen, I don't have to be the only one that visits or calls or absent members. You ought to be as well. And then number six, volunteer your time and your talent to minister to others in and through the ministries of Sharon Baptist Church. That simply means this. If you hear about someone who has a need in their life, you know, volunteer your time, volunteer your talent. Listen, if you're a piano tuner and you know that someone needs a piano tune, volunteer your time to go tune the piano. Show your love with them in that. And I don't know anybody that has the piano that needs tuned, but I'm simply saying this. You fill in the blank with your talents and gifts that God has given you. And not only until we become a congregation that's filled with loving members who care for and minister to one another, will we really be ready for the Lord to use us to reach the lost in a greater capacity than we already are. Here's a simple truth. If we don't care about each other, there's no doubt we'll never care about those who are without. Have you ever seen a family who's really close? I mean, the husband is close to the wife, the wife is close to the husband, and the children are close. You ever desire to have that kind of relationship in your family? See, that's what God expects out of us here at Sharon Baptist Church. And Jesus said that they would know we are Christians when they see our love for one another, according to John 13 and verse 5 we already have read. So this morning, I want you to receive this challenge from the Lord. We need more soldiers for the battle. We need more workers for the vineyard. I wonder if you're determined to take an active part in reaching the world for Jesus Christ. You say, when does it start? It starts right here. It starts right now at this altar. It starts right here on the portals of your heart. That's where it starts. You'll make a commitment to reach people with the gospel for Jesus Christ. You know, over 3 years ago, I asked the church to begin to pray about adding a new staff position here at Sharon Baptist Church. And it was the excitement. You know, what are we going to, a youth pastor, a men's pastor, a children's pastor? And I said, no, God's leading us to invest in a community outreach pastor. And he would be committed to outreach, evangelism, discipleship, and missions. And how many remember we come before you? And we prayed for over a year to do that. And we came to a time of a vote, and I said, okay, we're going to vote on this idea of providing the salary for a community outreach pastor. And I said, but before we do that, I want you to search your hearts. I want you to understand that when he comes as a community outreach pastor, that he can't do this thing alone. That I can't do it alone. The deacons can't do it alone. The Sunday school teachers cannot do it alone. And so I said, I want your commitment to this pastor. I want your word that you are going to support the work of a community outreach pastor. And everyone said, yes, pastor, we'd be willing to do that. You know, I wish he could do it on his own. That would save us all a lot of other time. But you know, the truth is, even if he could do it on his own, God still commands you and I to go. And so when do you go? Well, we go Thursday evenings at 6:30, and we go Saturday mornings, or right now at 1 o'clock. And so we rolled into soul winning on Saturday, and three ladies were there, plus myself and Pastor James and his wife. You know, I know we all have things we have to do, and that's important. But see, it's about committing. It's about committing our time. It's about saying that soul winning is just as important as you know, going shopping. Soul winning and reaching people with Christ is just as important as you taking care of something that needs to be done at your house. I can promise you this, that if you'll take care of God, he'll take care of you. You say, well, is God going to take care? Recently, I've been, over the past month or two, been painting my, whatever I've been painting, that's what I've been painting. Painting my shed. And I'm very meticulous. You might know that I'm OCD or CDO for those that really are OCD. That I can't have one speck of paint that's not where it's supposed to be. And so I paint and I go back and touch up. But listen, it's done and it's beautiful. But you know what? All that time painting, you know, I didn't take away from soul winning for the Lord. You know. And I understand this, that if I would take the time to come to the soul-winning time. And there's times that we have other things pre-planned in our family schedule that we just can't go. But you know what? Even those times come, I try to come and I sit through the devotion. I sit through the prayer time. And then if I have to go do what I have to do. It's just something about staying faithful, coming every Saturday that we could be there. I'm simply saying this, that if we are going to be a soldier for Jesus Christ, we're going to have to get on the stick. And maybe you're here today and you would say, well, Pastor Dave, I have never trusted Christ as my Savior. I want to encourage you today to volunteer, amen. Raise the flag of your heart and say, I want to know how to be saved. And maybe you're here today and you have trusted in Christ as your Savior. You've been saved for a while but never been scripturally baptized. And after scriptural baptism comes the next step in obedience, and that is uniting with the local New Testament church. So maybe you've been saved but not baptized. You want to come and request water baptism. Maybe you want to unite with the church. We can rejoice with you on your decision about that and speak with you about that at a later date. And listen, if you're not a member of this church, we would encourage you to take that step and unite with Sharon Baptist Church, and you might partner with us in furthering the gospel of Jesus Christ. I could boil it down to these four words. Get involved in God's work. That will make a difference for all eternity. Number one, commit yourself in verse number two. Number two, have concern as found in verse number one. the word grace. And then four, the challenge in verses 5 through 7 and the caution in verses 3 and 4. And so we understand that God expects something from you and I as being a soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's pray.